Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We would like to hear from you. 888-302-3684 gets you an appointment in the doctor's office, and you can pose a question to me or share a comment. And we got lots to talk about this hour. We welcome once again our WOR listening audience. By the way, those of you listening to us via WOR, you can listen live. They just set up a listen live button at WOR710.com, and you can listen live even if you're not near the radio transmitter. Say you're on vacation, and maybe you're lucky enough to be in Cancun, you know, right this very moment. And you want to listen to, you know, you get kind of a yen, you get kind of bored, you know, hanging out on the beach, drinking mimosas at the beach bar, and you want to listen via your computer to a radio station all the way over in New York City. Just click on the link and you can listen live. And by the way, this program is 2 hours, so you can, if you miss the first hour, because WR is only broadcasting 1 hour from 1 to 2 p.m., you can click on WR710.com, find Intelligent Medicine under Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you can listen live. You can hear the first 2 hour as well as the second hour. All right, first thing I want to talk about is niacin. And niacin is one of those things that kind of has gone into disrepute. I would wager to say that sales of niacin have plummeted because people have lost interest in niacin after a couple of studies suggested that niacin, while it does very effectively lower cholesterol, is remarkable in its ability to lower cholesterol. The studies suggest that while it lowers cholesterol, it does not necessarily reduce the risk of heart attacks. That's what the studies show. But I had a great conversation with Dr. Mark Houston. You can listen to the podcast at drhoffman.com/podcasts. I think that was this Monday of this week. So look it up. Go to my podcast page. And with Mark is a great authority on cardiovascular prevention strategies using natural supplements. And his specialty is hypertension. But he had some very interesting things to say about niacin, because niacin is considered passe, but it shouldn't be something that we throw out of our armamentarium of things that are good against cardiovascular disease. Of course, there's vitamin D, and there's red yeast rice, and there's vitamin E, and there's the anti-inflammatory nutrients, curcumin, and, of course, resveratrol. And many other things can be helpful for cardiovascular protection. Olive leaf extract, that's one of my favorites. You can find very good quality olive leaf extract at drhoffman.com. It's one of our lead products. Niacin, in the words of Rodney Dangerfield, just don't get no respect. But this is based on some studies that are faulty studies that led the scientific community and the medical community to abandon niacin prematurely. They did one study that I call it a belt and suspenders study. I mean, if you want to validate the benefits of suspenders, you really shouldn't do an experiment with people who are already wearing belts. So what they did is they took a bunch of people who were already on statin drugs and they gave them additional niacin. And what they found after a short time is that there was no additional benefit to giving them niacin. So they said niacin is not helpful for cardiovascular disease. But that doesn't make sense, because if you're a guy who doesn't want to wear a belt with your trousers and you want to make a fashion statement and wear some colorful suspenders, they're going to hold your pants up without the belt, right? So there's some people who absolutely can't tolerate statin drugs. They do very poorly on them. They have all kinds of side effects. They want to take natural alternatives. And niacin could be a plausible natural alternative. That really wasn't demonstrated by this study. The other point, this is actually a point made in an article that I found in Forbes magazine recently. Forbes magazine, a business magazine, but they're particularly concerned about niacin because niacin was a big bet by Merck, big pharmaceutical company. And they were going to make this wonder drug a form of flush-free niacin. but it was a very fancy schmancy drug where they teamed niacin with something. Let me see if I can even pronounce it. Niacin was going to be pronounced with a second patented drug. You can't make any money selling niacin, because I can walk in any health food store and buy a niacin. But if Merck wants to patent a special form of niacin, they've got to invent a drug to team it with to reduce the unpleasant side effects associated with niacin, the flushing. So they teamed it with something called, let me try to pronounce it, Laropiprant. I can't even barely pronounce it, Laropiprant. And when they tested it out, the niacin combined with Laropiprant crashed and burned. It not only did it not prevent cardiovascular disease, but it somewhat increased cardiovascular disease. Now, I assure you that that is not because of the niacin. There was something about the patent medication that niacin was teamed with that abolished the hot flashes that somewhat increased the risk of cardiovascular disease. So they abandoned this multi-hundred-million-dollar project. This was going to be this new killer drug. And I guess they got a big tax write-off, and they said niacin is no good. But according to Dr. Howard Weintraub, who's a cardiologist at nearby NYU Langone Medical Center, right here in New York, who's quoted in this Forbes magazine article, he says, this trial really didn't teach us a whole lot about niacin. He says, I think the world has more or less decided that niacin is dead, but I certainly wouldn't stop it on a patient who's doing well. I think people need to digest this in a more vigilant, a studied manner, and not just throw their hands up and throw the drug in the garbage. And, you know, I agree. Niacin can still be a very useful tool for cardiovascular prevention. There are studies that show that niacin can reduce the thickening of arteries that lead to the brain, the carotid arteries, independent of statin drugs. And this was very promising research until suddenly, all of a sudden, they concluded that niacin was worthless. But niacin flushes remain a big problem. And if you've ever taken niacin at a sufficient dose, you probably have had a niacin flush. And it's disconcerting. It's not dangerous, but it's disconcerting and uncomfortable. So it convinces a lot of people to stop taking niacin. And then they miss the benefits that niacin has. So here's some things you can do to limit the flush. By the way, a word about no-flush niacin, it's worthless. There's this thing called no-flush niacin. It's inositol hexanicotinate. I have long told my friends in the vitamin industry, don't even bother selling this stuff because it's worthless. I've tried it on patients. It does not impart the same benefits. It doesn't really lower cholesterol. So, you know, no pain, no gain here in this case. You know, no flush, no benefit. But the way you can obviate the flush is to start with a lower dose, work up gradually. Maybe start with 25 milligrams three times daily, and then the next, you know, couple of days try 50 milligrams and work up gradually to the dose that you want to be taking. What it takes to lower cholesterol in some cases is 1,500 milligrams or 2,000 milligrams a day. It depends on the patient. And, yes, you have to monitor your liver function. But here's a tip about liver problems. Niacin supplements are available in regular and time-release forms. And I like the crystalline niacin because the time-release niacin is more likely to be associated with liver problems. The niacin is slowly released as the tablet travels through the intestines. And as a result, the liver is constantly processing the niacin. For some people, this can cause liver problems. Another thing you could do is try taking an aspirin 15 to 30 minutes before you take your niacin. A lot of people who take niacin for cardiovascular prevention, their doctors prescribe aspirin anyway. So take the aspirin prior to taking your niacin, and it will obviate the flushing. Take it on a full stomach or with a meal, because on an empty stomach it's more likely to cause flushing. Drink a lot of water. But here's the really cool thing you can do to obviate the niacin flush. A study in the British Journal of Pharmacology shows that quercetin, which is a bioflavonoid that's available over the counter, it's found in apples, buckwheat, tea, onions, 500 milligrams of niacin taken before, I'm sorry, of quercetin taken before a niacin dose can dramatically reduce the flushing effects of the niacin. and only takes one or two capsules of 500 milligram quercetin to achieve this benefit. So give this a try. And by the way, quercetin is associated with protection from cancer. It is a natural antihistamine, so it's a great, it's an ideal allergy blocker. And so consider quercetin as a way that you can prevent those nasty niacin flushes. Don't throw out your niacin yet, because most of the studies on which this is based have come to an unnecessarily hasty conclusion about its lack of effectiveness. But make sure when you're taking niacin, get checked, because you need to be monitored for liver function. It can cause elevations. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'll like to take your phone calls, 888-302-3684. This is Intelligent Medicine. Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Hey, Joe, have you ever heard the joke about the guy who can't walk and chew gum at the same time? Well, not only can I walk and chew gum, but I can improve my dental health all at the same time, too.
Seriously, Fred, how does that work?
It's easy. I chew Spry Xylitol gum. It's gum with a purpose. Spry is an all-natural gum made with xylitol, not sugar or artificial sweeteners. It tastes great and comes in five flavors. You know, Joe, bacteria can't break down xylitol, and this leads to less plaque and less acid to cause cavities. My mouth feels fresh, clean, and healthy.
So who makes Spry?
Spry is made by the folks at Clear. They also have xylitol mints. It's so cool. Like me. My dentist totally recommended it, and it costs the same as regular gum and mints, but you get the added health benefits.
Put the Spry back in your step, and you can walk, chew gum, and help your dental health all at the same time, too. Spry gum and mints are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food retailers nationwide.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and let's talk to Jeff. Looks like Jeff's got a question about niacin. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
In May of 2013, I decided to take some niacin regarding lowering cholesterol.
Yeah.
When I started to take it, I actually had a reaction, and it's hard to describe, but I guess it would be like neuropathy. My left side became a little bit slower. When I had my shoe on, I had to take my shoe off because my everything, like a claustrophobic feeling, as funny as it sounds, on my feet and in my hands.
It almost sounds like a stroke-like reaction.
It's similar to that, so I didn't know if it was related to that. So I actually went to the doc, got checked out. Everything was fine.
Sure. Yeah.
I work out 5 days a week. I do plyometrics, so hand-eye coordination is all pretty good. But
sure,
it got better.
It sounds like you're actually in good shape. I mean, you're not like someone who's tottering on the brink of a stroke, and it seems like that was an unusual reaction. It's
right.
Something I never heard of.
Do you think it's related to the niacin or a coincidence?
Well, look, I mean, I got to say that there's two types of side effects that patients report to me. Some, like, I took the niacin and my face got all red. That's predictable. That's like something new. But then patients will sometimes report to me something backwards. Like, they'll say, I took theanine, which is supposed to be a calming agent, and I got all agitated. And, you know, to some extent, it could be patients become apprehensive, or it's their imagination, or it's a coincidence. But I listen to patients because certain reactions are what are called idiosyncratic. They're reactions which are typical, which occur, you know, quite routinely, and you can predict them, like muscle aches with statins. That's very typical. And then there are idiosyncratic reactions, reactions which, you know, may occur infrequently. So I tend to listen to patients. I tend not to dismiss it. And what you describe is idiosyncratic, maybe coincidental. I don't know what happened there. But, you know, I will say this, is that one of the drawbacks of taking niacin is that if you have gout, you probably shouldn't take niacin because it tends to raise uric acid. That would be a contraindication. Also, patients who have ulcers, if you have an ulcer, you know, certainly it could make it worse, particularly if you take it on an empty stomach. It sometimes has an irritating effect on the stomach. And the other thing is, it has been alleged, and this isn't really clear, but it probably is an unusual but a reaction you need to look for, is some patients see an elevation in blood sugar with niacin. So if you're diabetic and you're taking niacin and you see your hemoglobin A1C going up, and in spite of anything, you know, you're exercising, dieting the same way, then, you know, make sure that's not the niacin. That's something that I would look for. I mean, look, niacin
is... So what would a follow-up to my situation be, if any?
Look, what I always recommend is, I mean, you have some weird reaction when you're taking something, but it's unpredictable and you check out okay. I mean, the only way to determine is try it again and try it at a lower dose. Try, you know, start by taking 25 milligrams just once a day and then work up to 25 milligrams twice a day. You know, the dose you're shooting for is more like 1,000 or 1,500 milligrams, sometimes as high as 2,000. So it's going to take a while to work up. But sometimes by working up slowly, you can acclimate your body to the effects of something that if you took a lot all at once, you might get blown away. I mean, this might be a variant on the flushing phenomenon. I'm not really sure.
Right, because, I mean, my situation's better, but it's not perfect. Sometimes there's a lag in things. I have to actually think to move my hand.
Well, you see, this is, I don't know. I mean, I got to say, I don't know what's going on there, because the doctors check you, you say that you're okay, and, you know, I don't know what's happening there. It's, I mean, for all the world, you'd have to get checked by a neurologist to make sure you didn't have a stroke. I don't know what the residual problem is. I can't tell you.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, let's talk to Joe. Joe's down there in Philadelphia. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, good afternoon, Doctor. Glad you're back on the air.
Hey, my pleasure.
I had a nodule on the prostate. Did a biopsy Wednesday. During the probe, where they put it up on the screen, the urologist indicated that the nodule is calcified.
Okay.
The biopsy results haven't come back. Is calcification mean that the nodule will eventually shrink and more or less go away?
Well, that depends, because calcification can be benign. But keep in mind that when women get mammograms, mammograms will show calcification sometimes, and that is sometimes a sign of cancer. So calcium, I mean, think of calcium this way. Calcium is the body's cement. It's a way of sort of walling off inflammation or
right.
problem areas. So wherever there's like chronic inflammation or a problem, even potentially a cancer or a precancerous lesion, the body's going to put some calcium or cement in there, perhaps as a protective mechanism. And that can sometimes be a landmark or a sign that a cancer might be lurking there. So, you know, you're going to have to wait the official biopsy results to tell if there really is something to be concerned about.
The reason I ask that, because about 20 years ago, I had a nodule in the thyroid, and everybody was getting excited.
Okay, and it was also calcified.
And
yeah.
It calcified.
And it was also
away.
Calcified.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's a good thing. I mean, look, calcification is usually benign, but it sometimes can be a sign of trouble. Hey, Joe, well, stay tuned, because when we return, I'm going to talk a little bit about a yet another natural strategy for prostate cancer prevention, as well as a potential strategy for treatment of active prostate cancer. It's a natural supplement that we haven't really thought of in relationship to prostate cancer, but new research says that it could work. Our number, 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And here's a new thing I want to announce. If you have a question for the first hour of our program, we will answer it on the air. If you send the question to radioprogram@AOL.com and give us your number, and we will call you and we will put you on the air for the first hour of our two-hour weekend program. Radioprogram@AOL.com is also the place to go to get a subscription to our newsletter. So here's a story on prostate cancer. Very interesting story because taking a cue from breast cancer, we know that women who are blind have about one-third the incidence of breast cancer of women who are sighted, which is a remarkable fact. What is it about women who are blind? I'm talking totally blind. They don't see any light whatsoever. There's some people who are, quote, legally blind, which means they can't drive. For reasons of retinal disease or corneal disease, they just see a blur, but they're seeing light. I'm not talking about that type of blindness. I'm talking about cortical blindness where there's no light whatsoever that reaches the brain. Total blindness. These women have one-third the incidence of breast cancer. And why is that? The reason is that in the dark, we manufacture higher levels of melatonin. Light abolishes melatonin production by the pineal gland. And this is also one of the reasons why women who are shift workers, who are awake in the daylight and have daylight sunlight exposure, and then they're awake all night under fluorescence, they have a higher incidence of breast cancer than women who are not shift workers. I mean, there are other reasons. Shift workers, they have disrupted circadian rhythms. They don't eat as well. You know, the whole body is out of whack. But it is suspected that melatonin plays a role in the causation of breast cancer. So in a male hormonal cancer, prostate cancer, it appears that melatonin plays a role as well. Headline: prostate cancer is possibly tied to low melatonin levels. This is the American Association for Cancer Research in San Diego. The research showed that of the 111 men in the study who'd been diagnosed with prostate cancer and 24 that had been diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer, the researchers found that men with high melatonin levels were 75% less likely to develop prostate cancer in comparison to men who had low melatonin levels. And high levels of melatonin substantially reduced the risk for more advanced stages of prostate cancer. Now, the research on this is not conclusive. I don't think they've done any long-term, large-scale clinical trials using melatonin for A, prevention of prostate cancer, or B, treatment of prostate cancer. But I'm jumping the shark on this. I am using melatonin at high doses in recovering breast cancer patients. You know, they're concerned because, yeah, they tell them you're fine, but breast cancer can recur. So we give them melatonin. And same thing with men who are, quote, successfully treated for prostate cancer. That works most of the time, but sometimes it comes back. So we give them melatonin as a supplement, and relatively high doses appear to work. 20 milligrams of melatonin. And you would think, oh, that's going to just knock you out. You're just not going to, you know, it's going to be like overdosing on Ambien. You're not even going to remember, you're going to wake up, you won't even remember what country you're in. No. There's a threshold effect for melatonin. It can help you sleep, but it usually, I say usually, because there are exceptions and outliers. Some people get a little hungover or drowsy from it, but the vast majority of people have virtually no adverse effects from higher doses of melatonin. They sleep better, but they don't feel hungover, and it reduces the risk of certain types of cancer. There's a variety of reasons for this. You know, melatonin's an antioxidant. It prevents angiogenesis, which is the formation of tiny blood vessels that help to nourish metastases through the body. It promotes cell differentiation. It activates the immune system. It promotes apoptosis, which is the normal cell death, because immortalized cells that live forever, they turn into cancer. And this is very, very important research, the role of melatonin in cancer prevention and treatment. But, you know, bottom line, make sure you get a good night's sleep. And refrain from excessive exposure to nighttime light. You know, using that electronic device in bed, you know, sending a message to your brain, it abolishes your melatonin, which is not good. All right, we're going to take a call. Let's see, we've got Chris is on the line. Hi, Chris, how are you?
Hello, doctor. Yes,
yeah.
I'm concerned about MSG in protein powder. I heard that all protein powders contain MSG, not just ones with aspartame or.
And where did you hear that all protein powders contain MSG?
There's a couple of names that keep popping up. It's from a friend originally, but I looked it up, and there's a Russell Blaylock and a John Dooleyard. Their names seem to be associated with that claim, and so I gather they talk a lot about free glutamates. I don't know if they're making some kind of a rationalization about how protein works.
So let me tell you a little bit about that. You know, I think that comes from the fact that when you make protein powder, you hydrolyze the protein and you get glutamine and potentially glutamic acid or glutamate from that, and that hence there's the potential for what's called neuroexcitation. That's MSG is something that's neuroexcitatory that affects the brain. That's the contention of Dr. Russell Blaylock, who's done some great research on this. But I would say that the amounts in question are probably pretty inconsequential. There are some people who are highly sensitive to MSG. They might notice that they have an adverse reaction from ordinary, even very clean, pure protein powder. We use a very nice kind of whey powder in our practice that's very pure, very clean, free of chemicals and additives, and maybe as a natural consequence of the breakdown or hydrolysis of the protein, you're going to get some glutamine. Some of these people even are advocate against the use of L-glutamine because they think that L-glutamine is a building block for glutamic acid that's neuroexcitatory, and I'm not sure that, you know, I really go with that argument. I think for people who are sensitive to MSG, it's when you get these artificial flavorings, you know, and they go under various euphemisms and names other than MSG, the weasel words like natural flavorings and yeast extract and so on, that actually have the same properties as MSG. They, you know, perk up flavor, but they also have a neuroexcitatory effect that may have long-term adverse effects on the brain or short-term side effects such as headaches, migraines, flushing, gastrointestinal problems. We have to sometimes screen for MSG exposure when people come up with weird complaints. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I was curious because I've been taking a lot of protein powder for the past 15 years, I would say. I've never had any symptoms, but if I didn't have any symptoms, would that necessarily...
Yeah, I would say there's nothing to worry about. I would reassure you on that account. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
I am so glad we ate before we got on the plane.
Oh, me too. Would you like some gum or mints?
What kind do you have?
Spry gum and mints, made with xylitol from the folks at Clear. Both refreshing and good for you. Perfect for when it's not possible to brush your teeth.
Oh, like right now on the plane?
Exactly. You know, bacteria can't break down xylitol, which leads to better dental health. I love it. My teeth feel squeaky clean and my breath is so fresh.
That's great. Give me some. Oh, I wish we could find something to help with the dry air on this plane, too.
Well, Clear makes an all-natural xylitol spray for your nose and sinuses that soothes and moisturizes while not being addictive or harsh. Perfect for airplane travel.
Wow, Clear products really do all that?
Yes, they do. It's the xylitol in them. My whole family uses Clear xylitol products when we travel.
Where can I get them?
You can find Clear and Spry at your favorite health food stores. You know, like Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, and Sprouts.
It's a new year, and professional women are thinking about their 2014 resolutions. Many people may have resolutions to quit smoking or lose weight, but why not make a goal this year to help advance your career? Career expert Nicole Williams is here to discuss her confidence-building tips for achieving workplace success in 2014.
Now's the perfect time to set your career goals, to help women whip their careers into shape. I'm excited to partner with Secret Deodorant, a brand that helps women to be fearless as their career confidence coach. First, start by setting a measurable goal and attach it to a deadline. Write it down, set a date to accomplish it by, and remember, no matter the goal, how you present yourself is a key factor. Choose outfits that you feel fantastic in, and to cover your bases, wear a new Secret Clinical Strength collection for 100% confidence, so you're protected should stress, sweat, strike.
For more information, visit twitter.com/secretdeodorant. I'm John Dritten.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. You know, the holy grail of pharmaceutical science these days is to come up with a cure for Alzheimer's disease, because Alzheimer's disease is going to be big trouble for America. We have, about 75 million baby boomers, and many of them are reaching retirement age, Social Security age, and then what might ensue is an epidemic of dementia and Alzheimer's disease, and that's going to put an unacceptable burden on our healthcare system, much less our social system. You know, think of all of the caretakers that may be required. It's going to be a huge, huge problem. So this week's New England Journal of Medicine has a couple of articles about new medications, new highly touted medications that they've spent literally, if not tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, they've spent tens of millions of dollars on research and development. I'm pretty certain it's in the hundreds of millions. They have exotic names. One is solanezumab. The other is bapineuzumab. Boy, these names are tongue twisters. And both drugs have crashed and burned in terms of their clinical trials. They just do not work to slow or halt the progression of Alzheimer's disease. All those hundreds of millions of dollars of research essentially stymied by this very challenging medical condition. And they write an article in the New England Journal of Medicine. It's an editorial. They say anti-myeloid therapy for Alzheimer's disease, are we on the right road? And what they've been doing is they've been attacking the result of Alzheimer's disease, which is myeloid plaque. There's a lot of neurofibrillary tangles and myeloid plaque that gunks up the brain in Alzheimer's disease. And they're trying to come up with drugs that break that up. These two drugs, unquestionably, would probably cost anywhere from $25,000 to $100,000 a year per patient to administer because they're monoclonal antibodies, which are notorious for being expensive drugs, very highly targeted, designed to block certain proteins, and it just taint working. So I find it paradoxical because they're expending all this money looking for this magic bullet to treat Alzheimer's disease when we have natural therapies close at hand. They just did an article about how vitamin E at a dose of 2,000 international units, very high dose of vitamin E, slowed the progression of Alzheimer's. And that's not getting a lot of research dollars. You can be sure that pharmaceutical companies are not betting big on vitamin E because it's available in health food stores. Also, this new story out just this week, fish oil supplements may shield against Alzheimer's, study finds. They looked at blood samples from women in the Women's Health Initiative memory study, and they found that higher levels of EPA and DHA in the bloodstream reduced the rate of shrinkage of the brain. Those who had higher levels of omega-3s had larger total brain volumes after 8 years. I'll take a larger brain. That works for me any day of the week. MRIs indicated that higher levels of omega-3s were associated with increased volume in a part of the brain associated with memory, which is the hippocampus. So think fish oil, vitamin E. These expensive drugs have just not panned out. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, and we've got David from Brooklyn. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing, Doctor? Oh, my God. How you doing there, Doc? Hey, listen. We do have
some great supplements for memory, David. You know, we can provide you with some of those as well.
Yes, Dr. Hoffman, I hear you. Okay. Hey, listen, I just had a multiple stent operation not too long ago in my heart and also in my femoral arteries. And right now my doctors have me on Ranexa, Norvasc, baby aspirin, Coreg, and Crestor and Plavix right now.
Okay, but so a lot of blood thinners and a lot of cholesterol lowers and a blood pressure medication. And right.
Yes, sir. But right now I've did some reading on the Internet, and I heard of a nutrient called serrapeptase.
Yes.
And I was wondering the benefits of that. I've read that it's sort of like an arterial cleaner, and I was wondering if I can make that part of my safely make that part of my routine when I do my medicine.
You absolutely can. But, you know, before we get to that, I think one of the most important things that you can take, and studies have actually shown it beneficial in preventing restenosis. You see, the problem with stents is they make total sense. They open up your blood vessels. But when stents are put in, they're like little metal, tiny frameworks, cylindrical meshes that go into the blood vessels to keep them open. But they injure the wall of the blood vessel. They create inflammation. And as a result, there's scarring and they close. So, you know, fish oil has actually been shown to slow that progress. It has an anti-inflammatory effect, and you can use it. And you can use it safely, even though some of the medications you're on are blood thinners. It generally has been found that they're compatible. But the peptidases, things like natokinase and serrapeptase, these are a good addition to your regimen. Because it was actually Hans Nieper who introduced this stuff from Germany. He used serrapeptase to treat arterial blockage in heart patients. And it may also protect against stroke. So this is something that you can consider. What it does is it prevents the accumulation of gunk. It is proteolytic, and it seems to have it breaks down protein complexes that may be the result of chronic inflammation. Also good for treatment of injuries. You know, athletes use products like Wobenzyme, proteolytic enzymes, to treat chronic injuries and prevent muscle stiffness after exercise. And so, I think that may be a promising thing that you could add to your regimen. There are several products out there that contain that. Well, thanks very much for joining us. Don't forget our newsletter, radio program at AOL.com gets you a subscription. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. We're moving to a new Facebook site, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Have yourselves a great weekend and stay warm, New Yorkers. This is Intelligent Medicine.